The just shall live by faith. Doesn't say and or maybe. It says if and or maybe. It says the just shall live by faith. That is the only choice we have. We've been talking about becoming a New Testament believer, and they lived by faith. Now listen to this. The only way to live worry-free, fear-free, and depression-free is to live by faith in Jesus Christ daily. It's a daily thing. I'm not talking about just believing God for a miracle. I'm talking about living daily by faith that God is directing every step you take, every word you say. You're believing God to direct you and keep you on path, on His path, and keep you healthy and well. Isaiah 26:3. Listen to this. Boy, this is fantastic. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Who will keep us in perfect peace? The Lord. And what is our part? To keep our mind stayed on him because he trusteth in thee. If we trust him, we need to keep our mind focused on him. You say, well, how do I keep my mind focused on him when I can't see him? You stay focused on his word. And he's even referred to as the word. So if you stay focused on the word, it will help you to walk in peace and confidence. If we want our minds stayed on him, our minds must be stayed on his word. If our trust and faith is totally in the Lord and his word, we can have perfect peace. When the devil comes to agitate our peace, we can tell him to bug off. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's our part. Let not your heart be troubled. Some translation says, let not your heart be agitated. Who's the agitator? Satan. When things are going great, he wants to bring all kind of negative thoughts to your head. Well, it's going good right now, but what happens if what's going to happen when this happens or that happens? And they just elected the wrong person for mayor. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust God. What about you? My faith is not in the mayor. Today we want to look at this thought. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Is that true for you? Sometimes it's true for me, but it's still a struggle. But if we stay focused on the word, we can live with peace. You live longer if you don't have stress all over you. And healthier. You see, this is a quote from St. Paul. So constant fear, constant worry, constant depression is not living by faith. I see Christians upset all the time, and sometimes I'm one of them, but I got to shake that off of me and get focused on the Word of God and believe that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can you say amen? Amen. And I do believe, you know, that if I've been good to my kids, my Heavenly Father would be good to me if I asked Him. You see, we must continue to trust in Him no matter what we face. And you're not going to get through this life without facing some giants. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get through this life without facing some pretty big demons of depression and fear and doubt. And some pretty big attacks of infirmity and sickness. And even the devil make an attempt to put poverty on you and destroy your income. You're going to have some attacks. We must continue to trust in Jesus Christ no matter what we face. John chapter 3, verse 16, this is the basic to all faith. You have to believe this and do this if you want to go to heaven. This is the Amplified Bible. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son. He is unique because the Son of God has been God as long as God's been God. And he was a part of the Trinity, and he took on flesh and lived among us. And that's why it says unique. Only begotten implies that God created him. He did not create him. He was already in existence with God. He just was born of a woman and therefore took on human flesh so we could see God. When you see Jesus, you see God. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, clings to him. I love this. You know, I love the King James, but some of these translations just add words to it that really amplifies what's in the Greek. And sometimes it's good to read them. I always go back to King James to verify everything. But I love this. For God so dearly loved and dearly greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, listen, clings to, relies on, it's more than believing up here. It's actually casting your whole being on him for his safe keeping in every area. So that whoever raise their hand. We all can believe him. It's whoever. It's whoever. So that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on, do you rely on him? Do I rely on him? Sometime, yay. But I need to do it all the time. But the devil's always trying to agitate your peace. That's the problem. It's not God. It's not necessarily you. It's the devil working on you. And we all have to learn to tell him where to go. Cling to, rely on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Amen. To make it to heaven, we must believe and trust in Jesus Christ with all our hearts. You can see that this means we must continue to believe. Can't believe for 15 seconds or 15 minutes or 15 years. You have to maintain that faith in Jesus Christ your whole life if you want to have any sense of victory. This means we must continue, and that's what the Greek actually means, continue to believe. We must continue to believe, continue to trust, and continue to cling to Jesus Christ our whole lives. In Matthew 6:31, do not worry then. Who in the world said that? Jesus. Yay. I wonder what he means by that. Do not worry. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing, or how will we get healed, or how will we be delivered from this oppression, how will we be set free from these financial problems. Don't be asking those questions. Seek the kingdom first, and God will add all you need. I'm just reading it. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing, or what will we do with this demon, or what will we do with this mountain? Verse 3, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It doesn't say might. We need to quit living like it says might. It doesn't say might. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Everything he provided. Truly born out of sickness and carried away our pains, his wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed, made whole. The just shall live by faith all their lives and shall not shrink back. Amen. Sometimes we face a giant, we start backing up. You see, we can live worry-free only by trusting God for everything. When I first really rededicated my life to the Lord, I didn't know you live by faith. Some days I'd feel saved, some days I didn't. Yay. And my Aunt Faye, she said, look, Barry, you have to live by faith. You can't go by feelings and the way you feel and what you see. You got to go by faith in Jesus Christ. When she said that, it's like somebody turned the light on. We don't go by how we feel. If we invite him into our lives, he comes in. Well, I don't feel him, but he's there. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I don't feel forgiven. It doesn't matter if you feel forgiven or not, you are. Why? Because he's faithful and just. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, we have to live by faith every day. And when the devil comes to tell us we're not righteous, we're not worthy, we need to get rid of him. Get out of here. You live by faith daily. You stand on the promises daily. You see, we can live worry-free only by trusting God for everything. Faith is trusting God to get you to heaven and to take care of you through life. You've heard me preach on faith. Today I'm talking about the just shall live daily by faith. Every day. You need to pray before you go out that door. When you go out that door, you say, Lord, I'm trusting you to guide me, to watch over me, to protect me, help me to be in the right place at the right time. And if some nut don't like the way I drive, protect me from that nut. Amen. Living daily by faith. If you don't get that, you've never driven in Knoxville. Matthew 24:12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. How about you? Are you letting the cares of this world dampen your temperature? Are you staying red hot for Jesus Christ no matter what happens in the world or what happens around you? Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And that applies to healing. You may be praying for healing and the pain won't go away. It doesn't want to go away. It just seems like nothing is getting better. You endure in faith, believing with his stripes, I am healed. You stand on that. You believe that. You rebuke the pain. You rebuke the devil. And you say, you lying devil, I know he bore away my sickness and my pains. With his stripes, I'm healed. Now get out. And press in. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. You're looking for a job. He that endures to the end. Don't give up because it's rough, because there are giants in the way, because people say bad things about you and your talent and your ability. Don't let that discourage you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep walking. You see, faith endures. It does not give up when it faces giants. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Not just have faith, but live by faith daily. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Why is that in the Bible over and over and over? It's because we need to live by faith and not by what we see. The just shall live by faith. And when we had the out of school fun night, you know, once again, they're predicting storms and things. And by faith, we said, storm, you go around. Lord, we believe you told us to have this. And we press it in, and we're going to have it. And we rebuke the storm. Hey, Jesus rebuked the storm. He did. He says, I can do what he did. So I rebuked the storm. Then it seemed to be working, so I called Alice and got her to rebuke it. And we were living by faith, not by what we saw. And someone was watching it on the radar on their cell phone, I guess. And they said the storm was actually going around us. And I walked out there. Somebody said it just started sprinkling. I walked out there, and I had my weather detector, and. And sure enough, it was a few little drops bouncing off my head. I didn't have my hat on it. And if I feel water dripping off my head, I know it is raining or I've poured coffee on my head, one or the other. And I did that once. I had my coffee cup going to Starbucks, a big old cup, and I had coffee in it, cold coffee. And I should have poured it out, had coffee in it, and the wind almost blew my hat off. And so I had it was a cup where you snap the lid down, the tab is, but I lift it up. And so I grabbed my hat, and all of a sudden, it was raining, and it was raining coffee. And so, but I had my hat on, and so coffee just dripped all over the hat, and it just poured right down all around me. I took the hat off and shook the coffee off. But when I went out there, I didn't have the hat on. So I could tell it was spring just a little bit. And I had on a brand new coat. Bought it at dealers on sale. But if I'd paid full price for it, it would have been very expensive. And I said, devil, you're not going to soak this coat. Come on. You take your rain and get out of here. Amen. Is there something wrong with you? Well, it quit. Right. Yes. And it didn't sprinkle enough to get this stuff wet. You don't want that rock wall wet.
That's right.
People trying to climb it, can you say amen? And all that plastic stuff, it gets wet. Yeah. I mean, it can be dangerous. People can't stand up. And so God just stopped it. He says, so there's something wrong with you. No, it's called living by faith, believing what the Word says. If I hadn't known God wanted us to have that, I would have backed off. I don't think you can go around just changing the weather every day just because you want to have a picnic or something. I mean, us farmers need to rain. Can you say amen? If you have a situation like that where somebody could really get hurt, and you need to trust God to make it happen and take care of it. And the thing went around us, so people all around us got some rain, but we didn't.
Amen.
Living by faith.
Amen.
If you know God's told you to do something, don't let the storms chase you off. Amen. But you better be able to hear from God. I'm not saying go around doing dumb things. You pray until you get a no-so in here. Most preachers don't even know what God wants them to do. They just walk around dark like everybody else. But you can fast and pray until you know what God wants you to do. If he wants you to do it, he's going to help you do it. He's going to even cause the weather to cooperate with you. You don't have to believe that, but that's called living by faith. It's just different than preaching on faith. This is living by faith. Face the giants by faith. You don't run. You make them run. You don't let the storms chase you off. You chase them off.
Amen.
I don't know if you think that's crazy, but they live in fear and defeat too, so I don't worry about it.
Come on,
Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Faith endures. It does not give up when it faces giants or storms or anything else. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith, not just have faith, but live by faith. Galatians 3, 11, the just shall live by faith. So never give up on your dream, never give up on your faith, because it is an assurance, a revelation from God. You can pray. Do you got that no-so revelation? And never give up. Hebrews 10, 35, therefore do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away your faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's assurance, a revelation inside of you. Do not give up on your confidence or your faith, which has great reward. You see, faith produces miracles. There's great rewards by standing in faith. We have a great testimony of that out of school fun night. We have a great testimony because we walked in faith and believed God to take care of the weather. Verse 36, for you have, but you can't do that unless you got it in here first. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And sometimes you need to call in reinforcements to stand in faith with you. And that's why I had Alice here standing with me. because together, standing together, we win. You see, our faith in healing must endure until we receive our healing. Well, I thought God was healing me, but I still got this pain. Faith says, I'm not going to pay attention to the pain.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't do everything you know to do. But you trust God to definitely do what you can't do. Whoever believes, continues to believe in him is what it means. Continue to believe. It's a living by faith. It continues every day. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith must endure hardships and deceiving spirits that tell you you're losing when you're not. You see, liberal university professors deliberately try to destroy our faith, as some liberal seminary professors and some liberal preachers, they are used of the devil to destroy faith. Verse 37, for yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. We must maintain our faith because Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's also coming to work our miracle while we're still here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Verse 38, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, starts running from the giant, my soul has no pleasure in him. Do not throw away your confidence, your faith, your assurance, your revelation, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back. Are y'all paying attention? We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. We're talking about going deeper. We're not just talking about some kind of shallow faith. We're talking about going deep into faith so you live every day by faith. If the boss say, well, the thing about laying people off, you don't get nervous. Because you know, God, if you get laid off, you get everybody to pray for you and stand in agreement and all that. You don't neglect to do your part. I learned the hard way you don't do that. You pray through and get peace, but you know God's going to give you, that job does go away, he's going to give you one even better. But you pray until you get it in you. The righteous shall live by faith and not shrink back. You see, we are not of those who shrink back, but of those who stand in faith. Little David did not shrink back when he saw Goliath. Did he run from him or run toward him? He ran toward him, and he was saying, the Lord God of hosts will deliver you into my hands, and he charged the guy. He didn't run from him. Are you running from your giant? You see, his confidence in God enabled him to run toward Goliath and knock him down with a rock. Romans 4:20, Paul says, no unbelief or distrust made him, Abraham, talking about Abraham, waver or downly question concerning the promise of God. Abraham had every opportunity to doubt God just like we do, but he refused to doubt God. He refused to waver. So we need to remove all questions and all ifs from our mind and believe the word of God. Well, what if this? What if that? Get rid of those ifs and believe the word of God. With his stripes I'm healed. Now thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph. Can you say amen? Amen. Everything I do prospers. We need to start talking like that. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. In his law doth he meditate day and night, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What I do prospers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, it doesn't look like I'm prospering. Well, you got to keep believing. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. You got to maintain that confession coming out of your mouth. Once you start saying, I'm a failure and I'm defeated, you are a failure and you are defeated when you start saying that. Amen. It's a daily walk. You keep saying, with his stripes I'm healed. Now thanks be unto God which causes me to triumph. You keep saying the positive. And what's the positive? It's the word of God. Amen. You say, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on his word. Get that? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Confession of what? The confession of his word. Amen. Without doubting, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I know that my God is faithful, and he will never let me down. So I speak my faith without doubting. I can do all things with Christ. I keep repeating that. And of course, you know I waver. John, you chaz at him sitting back there in the back. I asked him to pray about something. It was kind of a scary, difficult situation, and he texts back, question. And at first, I thought, what in the world is he talking about? I realized it wasn't God. It wasn't John that sent me that word. It was God. Question, you've heard me say this now several times, but it applies right here. Question, have I ever let you down? So we need to live like that. He's never let me down before. But you can let him down by not praying. And by not standing on the word. And if you're going to stand on the word, you got to speak it. And you got to speak it in faith without doubting. Like little David said, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he's going to deliver me, you into my hands. I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to cut your head off. Didn't even have a knife on him. That little arrogant brat. No, his brothers thought he was a little arrogant brat, but he was a man of faith.
Amen.
He was a kid of faith.
Amen.
You see, we must not focus on what we see with the natural eye, but on our promise.
Amen.
Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Listen, but Christ lives in me. Question, does he live in you? There should be a little evidence that he's there every now and then. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I do not go by what I feel or see. That's what faith is. My Aunt Faye, she nailed it. You do not go by what you feel or see. You go by faith in the man, Jesus Christ, and in every word he has printed in his book, the Bible. I live by faith in Jesus Christ and his rhema word. When he quickens his word to my heart, begins to live in my heart, I go with it. You see, they know so evidence inside is faith, and you got to go with it. Faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. Once you know you've heard from God, you need to do something. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. You see, this theme is all through the Bible. Faith is the spiritual insight that comes from God's Word and the Holy Spirit revelation. Living by faith means we are looking at the promise of God rather than the problems every day. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. You see, the promises of God are unseen until they're fulfilled. Once they're fulfilled, you don't need faith because you got it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You may need faith to keep it, you know, but you've got it. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Faith focuses on the unseen promises and not symptoms or circumstances. Don't get focused on your symptoms or your circumstances. Isaiah had his eyes fixed on angels he could not see. Isaiah knew there's angels around him. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's more on your side than their side? The Word of God, I think it's Hebrews, says that angels are ministering spirits to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. I believe I got angels ministering to me. Can you say amen? And one showed up and somehow got me healed of rosacea many years ago. I've told you that story over and over again. Dottie saw the angel. If you think there's something wrong with that, talk to Dottie, because I didn't see anything. All I know is my rosacea went away. It's never come back. And that was in 2011. Yay. You see, were those angels there all the time? Yes. But the servant couldn't see them until the Lord opened his eyes. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. His servant saw angels and chariots of fire all around Elijah. They were there all the time. Elisha. You see, Elisha had Holy Spirit revelation, and he was going by that rather than what you could see with your natural eye. He knew angels were there. I know angels around me. I forget sometimes, but they're there. Amen. He was seeing by faith. Psalm 91 says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash their foot against a stone. Do you believe that? See, living by faith is living, trusting God and his angels to watch over us and take care of us, our children and grandchildren. But we don't take anything for granted. I pray sometimes two or three times a day that God will protect me and Dottie and my children, grandchildren, my mama, my brothers and sisters, our family members, and all of you in this church over and over. I keep that going up before God. Can you say amen? And I'm believing he's doing it. And this church is greatly blessed. We should never take these things for granted. And this church, God just protects us from tragedies. He just takes, and we, the worst thing we could do is start taking that for granted. We need to thank him every day. Amen. Now, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is sure of what we is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. That's the NIV. But I love the way that translates that. And it's right. Now, faith is being sure. I'm sure I'm in the right place at the right time preaching the right message. I'm sure. You may not be sure, but I'm telling you right now, I'm sure this is the message you need. Well, I've heard about faith before. Well, you need this one. This is different.
Amen.
Mama used to put green beans on my plate and said, "Plate, I don't like green. I don't want those." And she said, "Well, you need them." So this may be green beans. You may not think you need it, but you do. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain, sure and certain of what we do not see. We are seeing by revelation and insight from God's word, not by the physical eye. The King James translates it this way, and I quote it this way all the time. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? It means faith is being sure and certain. It's a confidence. Cast not away your confidence. It's an assurance. It's an also revelation. You're in the right place, doing the right thing. There's an assurance in you that God is healing you and restoring you to health. You stand on that and keep confessing, "With his stripes I'm healed." Get it in you. Get that word in you. And repeat it over and over and over until it manifests, until what you don't see, you see. You see, it is being sure we have what we do not see. Nancy Jenkins Ziegler had a bad accident. They kept her in the hospital for days. They had a counselor on standby for 4 days because they said she's going to die any minute. I went and parked my van in the parking lot. I mean, she was a hard worker. She did a lot of work around here, and I wasn't ready to give her up. I was motivated because I needed her. But I also loved her and the family, and I wanted her to live and be healthy. And I sat out there and prayed for her, but when she did recover and all of her broken bones healed, one leg was a half inch and a half shorter than the other, approximately. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "I'm going to grow that leg out."
Amen.
And I told the whole church that. I was naming and claiming things that I had no way of seeing with a natural eye at the time. I just was going by what I had right here. And then the devil says, You Looney Tune. You told the whole church that? That's not going to happen. Well, guess what? I had to stand in faith. It'll happen. I could doubt it and throw that away. I'm talking about living by faith.
Amen.
And so I stood on that and said, "You lying devil, I know God told me that."
Yeah.
And one Sunday night, she's sitting right back there in the back. And the Lord said, "Tonight's the night." I called her up and set her in a chair and put her feet in my hands, and doubters and unbelievers like Stan Watkins and Chuck Lester and a whole bunch of others come running up to watch. The preacher was not going to pull anything on them. Did her leg grow out, Stan? Did you see it? See, y'all will believe him, but you won't believe me. Is that right, Chuck? I'm talking about living by faith when you see nothing. But it was here, and then it happened. I could have given that up and thrown that away. Said, "It's not working." I'd have done it time or two. I'll tell you right now, it can create a tragedy. God gives you a word. You live it daily. You believe it daily. Hebrews 13:5, for he, God himself, has said, "I will not in any way fail you nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not." You see, the Lord spoke to me, this to me, and it still lives in me. He spoke this to me back somewhere around 87, 88. And it's still right there right now. "I never leave you nor forsake you." Can you say amen?
Amen.
And boy, I have stood on that all these years. I mean, we had all kind of things going on in the church. God just worked miracles all the way through. And we had stopped tithing. I mean, we'd made God a promise, but had some debts and stuff, and person paying the bills, and we pay the bills. We were not going to be able, if we pay the tithe, not going to be able to pay the bills. And I said, okay, don't pay the bills. The Lord spoke to me, fear not, give. And all the way, the Lord was just directing me in the name, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We started paying tithes again, and everything began to explode financially. And then the Lord said, build these wings on this church. God began to work all that out. We borrowed $600,000, and God just worked it all out, paid the money back. I mean, it just one miracle after another, and all of it was just living by faith based on this word right here. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. And then we had the architect come up with this new addition, the sanctuary. It cost about $2 million, and I said, no way. And God says, hang on a minute. Hey, where's your faith? There is a way. And God sent a man from California, a billionaire, and he gave us $1.6 million. Let me read this one more time. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That's Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 13:5. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Certainly not. I'm reading it, but I can quote it just as easily because I quote it to myself sometimes more than once a day. Living by faith, by focusing on Christ, by focusing on his word. Focus on Jesus and his word. The Lord spoke this to me, and it still lives in me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what God said to him, and it's quoted in the New Testament, and the Amplified Bible just expands it. You know, but that's exactly what it means. I will not fail thee nor give thee up. But the Amplified Bible spoke to me. I will not in any way fail you nor give you up. See, God uses different translations. I know some people say, well, King James is all there is. But those people are not very smart. Because the King James is just another translation. It just happens to be, in my opinion, the best. Okay. But it's got old English and stuff in it that you don't even understand today. You got cocks crowing and thrashing and all kind of things supping, you know, and all kind of stuff. So it helps in these modern times. If you got a good modern translation, it can really help you.
Amen.
But you need to always verify it with the King James.
That's right.
And you say amen.
So
I will not in any way fail you, Barry Coverson, or give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. Let's all stand.